Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so we're able to test and prove what is best, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the Word says that I am. I choose to do what the Word says to do. And I have what the Word says that I have. I choose to open my heart to receive everything the Lord has for me today. Last week, we wrapped up our series, Your Real ID. Throughout the whole series, our focus was on our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ. Today, I'm beginning a brand new series titled Christ in You, a study in Colossians. So first we learned who we are in Christ. Now in this series, we're going to learn about who the Christ is in you. Colossians 1:27b says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We learn from chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2, that Colossians is a revealing of the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The book is a revelation of the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ Jesus. So we know from the beginning of the book, if you look there at verse 1, we know that Paul is the author of this letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, Colossians 1:1. And the very last verse, if you turn to the very back of the book, four chapters later, the very last book, or the very last verse says, this greeting is in my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. That's chapter 4, verse 18. Now, Timothy is named as the co-sender of the letter, just as he was in Philippians and Philemon, although Paul is the primary voice throughout the letter. I believe this was written in Rome around AD 60 to 62 during one of Paul's imprisonments. Quite possibly the imprisonment we saw in Acts 28, 16 to 31. Colossians is part of a group of letters that are commonly called the prison epistles. It's along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. They were written from an imprisonment in which Paul could still receive visitors, send couriers, and write letters. Tychicus carries this letter accompanied by Onesimus. We see that in chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. This is the same Tychicus that carries Ephesians, from Ephesians 6:21, and Onesimus is the runaway slave at the center of Philemon. So what we know about Colossae, it was located in the Roman province of Asia, which is Western Asia Minor, today's modern-day Turkey. It's about 100 miles east of Ephesus, near Laodicea and Hierapolis. Paul was writing to a church he'd never been to. He didn't plant the church. Epaphras did. Paul said in Colossians 2:1, For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me face to face. This lets us know that this was not a church that Paul planted. Colossians 1:6b-7 says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God. You learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. In Colossians 4:12-13, says Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you so that you may stand mature and fully assured in the full will of God. For I testify about him that he goes to great pains for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. I believe, this is not the verse, this is me, I believe that it's likely that Epaphras was in prison with Paul. This is because in Philemon 1:23, Paul says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. Now, he doesn't mention in Colossians that he's in prison, so I'm not positive, but I think it's very likely that he was there in prison. Now, in digging into it a little bit, there's some discussion as to what that may be, and it's quite possible that he was a voluntary prisoner to serve Paul, that he came to minister to Paul because Paul was in chains, but he may have been living there with Paul in prison in the rented house in order to serve him and help him during this time, which would mean that he would be in prison, but it may not have been the same kind of imprisonment that Paul was under. We're not sure, though. All we know is that in the book of Philemon, that he's mentioned as being a fellow prisoner. So the Colossian believers were mostly Gentiles. Paul writes to a people who were once dead in their trespasses and in the uncircumcision of their flesh. We see that in chapter 2, verse 13. So it's language talking of a pagan past, and their old way of life, as described in chapter 3, points the same direction. So we can gather by that that it was predominantly a Gentile church. There were Jews living in the region, though. We know that. And we can actually see in the book that there were some false teachings that have some pretty strong Jewish roots. Rules about food, festivals, new moons, Sabbaths, and circumcision. So it's likely the church included some Jewish brothers, but it wasn't simply Judaism. It was actually a mixture of religious ideas. Jewish practices blended with strict rules about the body, the worship of angels, and a fascination with visions and so-called secret spiritual knowledge. The believers lived in a crowded spiritual world. Lots of voices claiming to give them away into the unseen things of God. There was teaching going around the church that promised something more, a deeper wisdom, a higher spirituality, and fuller access to God through extra practices. Colossians 2:8 says, "See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, which are based on human tradition and the spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ." Get this. It was Jesus plus. Jesus plus rules. Jesus plus secret knowledge. Jesus plus spiritual experiences. So relevant today. The same pressures are all around us in the world today. It doesn't take too long on YouTube or social media to find someone offering some kind of secret knowledge or the answer. We live in a plus world. Jesus plus the right diet, clean living that makes you feel pure. Jesus plus good works or social activism. Jesus plus self-help. Jesus plus religious performance. Jesus plus therapy, my therapist said. Jesus plus the laws of attraction or new thought. Jesus plus the next conference high, the next encounter, the next mountaintop experience, the next more. The lie is always that Christ alone isn't enough, even if it's not so clearly stated. I want you to watch how Paul handles it in this book. Paul shows them that the more they were being offered is less than the all that they already possessed in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and you have been made complete in Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Hope you remember that from our Real ID series. I am complete in Christ. Colossians 2, 2 through 3 says, "That they may be encouraged in heart, knit together in love, and filled with the full riches of complete understanding, so that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The wisdom and knowledge the world is seeking is only found in Christ. You don't need some new secret. If you're born again, you have got the secret living in you. You've got the answer. We have the answer that the world needs residing on the inside of us, but so many times are tricked into focusing on thinking that we need more, thinking that we're insufficient, thinking that it's just the next thing. So in chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, Paul describes who this Christ is that's in you. We're camp out in this passage in a few weeks. But as I'm launching the series today, I want to go over it. Just read through it today for you. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he may have preeminence. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Look again at verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." All the fullness of God dwelt in Christ. Now, I want you to flip over to verse 27. Look at verse 27. "To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Come on. I've titled this series, "Christ in You." The Christ who God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him is the Christ in you. Amen. If you're a born again believer. Amen. Today, I'm teaching on Colossians 1, verses 1 through 8, from the Berean Standard Bible. I've titled today's message, "Grace, Gratitude, and Growth." Colossians 1, 1 through 8, let's read it together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. The faith and love proceeding from the hope stored up for you in heaven, of which you have already heard in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God. You learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Now I want to break this down for you. I've got here the three G's. Now, when I was in Bible college, one of my instructors shared with the room the three G's that every minister needs to watch out for. Well, every male minister. The three G's were girls, glory, and gold. They're the things that'll trip up a man of God. And it's not just for ministers, it's any man of God. Girls, glory, and gold. Those are the things you've got to watch out for, because they will draw you away from Christ if you get your eyes set on those things. Now, I want to talk to you today about three G's that we should have our minds set on. Grace, gratitude, and growth. So we see this movement in this passage. Verses 1 and 2 is grace to the saints in Christ. God's grace enables our faith. Our faith is made available to us because of the grace of God. We see gratitude and thankfulness. Faith, love, and hope are worth thanking God for. We see that in verses 3 through 6. And then we see growth, the gospel bearing fruit in all the world and in you, verses 6 through 8. Grace, gratitude, and growth. Those are three G's you'll want in your life. So number one, grace to all the saints, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brothers, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. That word saints is that word hagios, set apart, holy. If you remember from our Real ID series that we are to be set apart, that we are set apart, that we are saints. I am a saint. Holy, set apart. God said, be holy as I am holy. The grace and peace that Paul speaks of, and he speaks of this throughout multiple books, grace and peace. It draws from Numbers 6, 24 to 26 in the Old Testament, the priestly blessing. Numbers 6, 24 says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Paul opens Romans in the same way, Romans 1:7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember our message a few weeks ago from Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Grace is never earned. It's always received as a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. back to our text, Colossians 1, 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Next, we see the gratitude. Verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Watch this, because. Gratitude, because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. The faith and love proceeding from the hope stored up for you in heaven, of which you have already heard in the word of truth, amen, the gospel that has come to you. The fruit that was spoken of in verse 6 is real because its root is secured. See, to have fruit, you've got to have root. Amen. Here again, Paul brings up their faith, love, and hope, which is Paul's go-to evidence of a life transformed by the gospel. Yep. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. That's why these are so under attack these days. Faith, hope, and love are under attack from the world coming in. The Bible tells us in the end times that love would begin waning. But we know that faith, hope, and love remain forever. And for any of those that truly have received the gospel, are truly growing in him, there will be evidence of faith, hope, and love at work in their life. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, and continually recalling before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and your enduring hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that the hope is stored up, where? In heaven. This is so good. It's not subject to your circumstances. It's kept by God himself. Amen. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power for the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith, hope, and love. That hope is kept secure for us. Our hope is anchored there. If you remember, we are a citizen of heaven. Our hope is in our home. Our hope is in our true home. Our hope is not in what's going on down here in political systems and the chaos that we see going on in the world. Our hope is secure. Back to Romans 5. Let me go through the fuller passage there because it ties in so well to what we're learning here in Colossians. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Again, I preached on this a few weeks ago. But therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Faith and love are the visible fruit hope is stored up in heaven. It's the secured root that the fruit can grow from. Having that hope isn't visible to others, but it's what we've got to be rooted in. Now watch Colossians 1:27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see that? The hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. When the world shakes your circumstances, it can't touch your root because your root is in Christ. I am rooted and grounded in Christ. Remember? You can see the fruit on a tree, but you can't see the roots. But fruit won't grow without the roots. Brings me to point number three, growth. The gospel bearing fruit in all the world and in you. Colossians 1, 6 through 8. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God. You learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. We took root in the word of truth, the gospel. And all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. The gospel that saves is a gospel that grows. If there's no growth, there was no salvation. If you want to know if you're born again, is there growth in your life? Are you connected to the root? Are you drawing nourishment from the root? The gospel that saves is a gospel that grows. This is what Jesus said the good soil does. Matthew 13, 23. But the seed on the good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. What Paul say here? Truly understood the grace of God. Since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God. Matthew 13, 23, Jesus said, but the seed sown on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and produces a crop. He indeed bears fruit and produces a crop 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Fruit only comes from a branch that stays connected to the vine. John 15, 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We've got to stay connected. Our source of life, drawing our life. The reason the world, the enemy, wants to get us focused on the more is because when we're running after more, it's drawing our attention and our focus away from our source of life, our nutrient, the all that we have in Christ, the complete that we have in Christ. James 1, 18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creation. The word of truth is the gospel that gives new birth, that seals us with the Spirit. The word of truth. Words have power. Ephesians 1:13. And in him, having heard and believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And get this, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, spoken word, is the power of God for salvation, wherever it's preached and believed. Romans 1, 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. For the gospel reveals the righteousness of God that comes by faith from start to finish. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Oh man, this is so good. I want to jump over here to Romans 10. Didn't have this one in my notes, but it came up in me as I'm looking through this. Romans 10, verse 11. It is just as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Our goal at Elite Life Church is to be a church that sends. That sends the message of the gospel, that sends people with the message of the gospel, that sends the truth that transforms. Because when the gospel is preached, the good news about Jesus is preached, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The words carry the power of God to those who believe. Amen. In closing, I want to go back to Colossians 1, 6 to 8. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood the grace of God. You learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Watch this, guys. What was our message last week? I am an ambassador for Christ. Epaphras was, and get this, and still is an ambassador for Christ. See, here's the crazy thing about the kingdom of God. This is a wild thing for you to grasp. When I was going through this, I was like, oh man, Epaphras was an ambassador for Christ. And the Holy Spirit said, Epaphras is an ambassador for me. And I just had this revelation. I went, whoa. Epaphras took the word that he heard, most likely from Paul. He most likely heard Paul preaching somewhere, took it back to his hometown and shared with the people that he knew the good news of Jesus Christ. He founded the church by preaching the gospel. The people received the truth of the word and received salvation. But get this, it didn't stop there. This is how the gospel goes on. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. People, even today, are getting saved and born again as a result of the letter to the Colossians. We wouldn't have this letter if Epaphras hadn't shared the gospel with the people in his hometown. If he hadn't been an ambassador for Christ and told the people that he cared about, that he rubbed shoulders with, and that he knew, and that he saw in the marketplace, and shared the good news of Jesus with them, we wouldn't have the letter to Colossae. Without the letter to Colossae, we wouldn't have this rich understanding of who Christ is in us. God was able to use what Epaphras did for the kingdom of God and allow it to bear fruit, not just during his lifetime, but to carry on after him and after him and after him for generations to come, bearing fruit. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If you're listening to this message today and you don't know God as your personal Lord, or Jesus, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if God is not your Father, if you don't know Him as your Father, with an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to step in to the kingdom of God today, to join the believers all over the world in believing the good news about Jesus and becoming part of the family of God and receiving all of the benefits and blessings of being part of the kingdom of God. John 3, 16 to 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 6, Paul said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." And Romans 10, 9 through 13, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. It is just as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here's a simple prayer of salvation. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I've sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for forgiving me, and for giving me eternal life. I receive your love and gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are already born again, or if you just got born again, I want to encourage you, be an ambassador for Christ. Share the good news of the kingdom. Remember, a salvation that saves is a salvation that grows. A grace that saves is a grace that grows. Our three G's for today, once again: grace, gratitude, and growth. The grace of God is going to lead to gratitude in your heart. It's going to lead to a thankful outlook on life, and it's going to lead to growth. If you're connected with the vine, you are going to grow. You are going to bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, let me challenge you to see if maybe you've been hanging on to a Jesus plus, and maybe that plus is getting you tripped up. Maybe your focus has been on some of the other things instead of on your root. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person listening today. Lord, I thank you that our focus throughout this series is going to be on the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. Lord, I thank you for giving us a fresh revelation, a revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. I thank you for each and every person listening to this. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing on this series, for your grace on this series, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you transform the words that I speak into words from your Holy Spirit for each and every listener, and that you transform the lives of those listening to this message and this series. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.